Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and today is Thursday, April 18th, 2024. Today we are reading from the Big Book, continuing on in Bill's story, page 14, the third paragraph, "For a moment I was alarmed," through to the end of the following paragraph, "He knows that they are real." Today's readers are Chanel T, who will read the text for us, Wendy M, A Vision for You, and Sherry Z is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Sherry M, and Leslie M will share announcements. The reference numbers for Wednesday, April 17th, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,325, and for Thursday, April 18th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, 21,327. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, "Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask join us and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Patty.
Good morning. This is Patty from Massachusetts. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Patty F. in Massachusetts. Next, we are going to go to Alex K. in California, who's going to read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you, Susan. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully recovered just for today. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thank you, Alex K. in California. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 14, the third paragraph, which begins with, "For a moment I was alarmed," through two paragraphs ending with, "He knows that they are real." And Chanel T. in Washington State is going to start us off this morning. Good morning, Chanel. Thank you.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you. For a moment, I was alarmed and called my friend the doctor to ask if I were still sane. He listened in wonder as I talked. Finally, he shook his head saying, "Something has happened to you. I don't understand. But you'd better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were." The good doctor now sees many men who have such experiences. He knows that they are real. I'm Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in recovery today, purely by the grace of my higher power, I call God, and I'm in Washington State. So we were just talking, you know, in the previous paragraph we just read about what I think most of us would call a white light experience, right? I know I would. It was an incredible experience that Bill had. And now, as his reasons turning, just as I know has often been the case for me when something I can't explain happens, I try to explain it. I try to explain it. And here he is, wait, whoa, that can't be real. Okay, what's wrong with me, Doc? What's wrong with me? And he knows Dr. Silkworth by now. This isn't his first time, his trip to Towns Hospital. So he knows the doctor knows him. And what if, that's what these paragraphs make me think, what if the doctor had dismissed it? What if Dr. Silkworth had said, "Yeah, sorry, man, you're still coming out of DTs. I'm sorry, you know, it'll be okay. Don't worry. Here, let me give you this sedative. You'll be all right." Somehow, and I believe this is through higher power, that I cannot explain or fully understand, somehow Dr. Silkworth knew that what had happened to Bill was a real experience, not a hallucination, a real experience. He saw a change in Bill, is what I can only presume here from what he's saying. Something has happened to you, I don't understand, but you'd better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were. He knew something real had happened, just as Bill knew when he saw his friend Ebby, who was a drinking buddy, who was drunk, but came fresh-skinned and glowing, was changed, was on fire. Now here Bill was, changed, on fire, full of something that couldn't be anything but the work of a power greater than himself. That's an incredible thing, because now we have AA, OA, all of these 12-step recovery programs, and I care about this one very deeply because it has saved my life and continues to save my life. Every day, the good doctor now sees many men who have such experiences. He knows that they are real. For a man of science, a person of science, to lay aside all that knowledge and say, you know what? There has to be something greater than this that I don't understand and can't explain. And that, to me, explains this program in a nutshell. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chanel T. in Washington State. All right. So in case you joined us while Chanel was speaking, we are discussing today in the doctor's opinion, page 14, two paragraphs, starting with, for a moment I was alarmed, through to he knows that they are real. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you would like to share, star one to unmute and please give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from. So who would like to share their interpretations of these paragraphs this morning? I am all set to go. Star one to unmute.
Good morning, Wendy M.
Thank you, Wendy.
Becca R.
Where are you calling from, Becca?
Kentucky.
Thank you. Who else would like to join Wendy and Becca this morning?
Please enter your extension. Press pound.
Somebody's unmuted.
Please enter your
PIN code. In Israel.
Hi, Deb. Good morning. Thank you.
Can you just remind me what page we're on?
Yes, I can. We're on page 14, two paragraphs starting with, for a moment I was alarmed, through to he knows that they are real. Anyone else like to get in on this first lineup?
Robin T.
Thank you, Robin. And where are you calling from?
Massachusetts.
Thank you. All right, anyone else for this first round? All right, can everybody star one and mute themselves other than, well, actually, let me just tell you the lineup first so everybody's clear. Wendy M. in Colorado, Becca R. in Kentucky, Deb E. in Israel, and Robin T. in Massachusetts. So could everybody please mute their line other than Wendy M.? And Wendy, if you would like to start us off, please. Thank you.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Susan, for your service. And the lead was beautiful. Thank you so much. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And I raised my hand because I'm swimming in resentment and I'm swimming in insanity. And I have to take an action so that I can hear God, right? So God can come to me, can work me. And so that's why I raised my hand, because I'm sitting in it, and I know I'm in it, and that is the miracle today. I know when I woke up, yes, I am in the blanks, and my head is full of nonsense. And you know what God does? God makes that possible. It says, like, when we're in self so extreme, it will eventually kill us, right? These things dominate us. And so this morning, I can say, wake up, do the deed, right? Like, how do I keep this thing? I get on my knees. I do 30 minutes. I send out love and light to somebody today. You know, God's just like, please be of service, Wendy. Just be of service. Don't think. Just act. Do not think about all this resentment that you think you're thinking, you know, the insanity. So what happens here that I love is something has happened to you I don't understand. And I'm really finding that that's the case for me today. God is doing the program on me. I'm not doing anything. I don't say, God, give me this, give me that, give me sanity. God just says, act, don't think, and you'll be fine. You know, especially if you can help some people today, that would be fabulous. But I don't understand what's happening to me. I am being rearranged. The common is becoming uncommon. The, you know, all of the insides of me are being rearranged. I don't even understand how this is happening. Last night I was in full resentment. It was really fun. And I was going to send a nasty note to the group. And God's like, I don't think that's going to be useful. In fact, that's going to harm people. And so God is doing this to me. I don't understand why I didn't press send on that text. I don't understand why I don't, you know, want to make pain for another person because they're making, quote, pain for me. You know, I don't understand why I'm not picking up food. I'm just doing the deed. That's all I know. I'm just acting. I'm doing all of the deeds that are told to me, no matter what is going on in my head, right? So I have enough sanity to know that God is working me. And it is the strangest sensation. I've never had it before in 23 years. You know, and do I want this? Is it real? Oh, it's absolutely real. I mean, I always say, I don't know if I believe in God, but I experience God constantly. So when I don't press that send button.
That's time,
when I
do, Wendy.
Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. in Colorado. Next up, we have Becca R. in Kentucky. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning. Hi, it's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. And I love the opening share as well. I love what's in quotes in this paragraph, that something's happened to you I don't understand. And it made me think about in the back of the book where it describes spiritual experience in one of the appendices. And they introduce this word God consciousness, you know. And I think about, you know, what has happened to me that people don't understand is I've tapped into this inner resource that I feel like Dorothy Gale, like the ruby slippers were there the whole time, but now I've got access to it. And I think about sometimes it's not quite noticeable immediately with other people, but there is this rearrangement that's happening, it's in progress, it's moving, it's growing, it's changing, and that's why I stay. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Becca R. in Kentucky. And next up, Deb E. in Israel. Good morning, Deb.
Hi, it's Deb E., recovered compulsive reader in Israel. So I just keep kind of going back to the word understand. And yeah, I just got another idea about understand. It just made me think of the 11-step prayer, actually, where it says something like, you know, may I understand, you know, seek to understand others rather than for them to understand me. And I always want, you know, I want to be able to explain. I want to say, well, but you should understand where I'm coming from. Then you'd know why I was resentful. You'd know why I felt this way. And that's not what I'm supposed to focus on while I work these steps. Right? I'm supposed to focus on how I can be of service. And if I'm seeking to understand others, I'll be a whole lot more of service to them than if I'm just focused on myself and how I want people to understand me, you know. And I was also thinking about how, like, as a human being, I'm just too limited to be able to even begin to fully understand my higher power. I can't, like, it's beyond my capacity as, like, a mere mortal, right? And that's a good thing, because I'm leaning on this power for help and for guidance. And so if this power, if I understood everything about it, then it probably wouldn't be able to help me in the same way. But not understanding it is not a bad thing. Not understanding it means that there's still so much more for me to learn. There's still so much more to me to, like, try to kind of, like, ascend to, you know. Like, I think of this as all spiritual work. And so the more I can kind of, I don't know, lift outside of, like, I don't know how to explain this or articulate it properly, but kind of, like, go beyond my physical being and really tap into the spiritual world, then the closer I can get to understanding, but I will never fully understand. And it also made me think of step three when we talk about, you know, to the care of God as we understood him. And people often talk about how, like, we don't understand our higher powers. So I think it's just, I'm really focusing on that word today because there's so much, I feel like, in my recovery that revolves around understanding. And, you know, the more I understand about myself, the more I realize, like, that I don't know. And the more I have to learn, the more I have to grow. And so it's like a very humbling word too, I think. And I will pass with that. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Deb E. in Israel. Next, good morning to Robin T. in Massachusetts.
Good morning, Susan and my fellows. Thank you so very much for this morning, and this passage is amazing. So I'm Robin T., recovered, and you know, this paragraph makes me think of not just how Bill went to the doctor, but how when I have my mini miracles and sometimes major miracles, when God intervenes and shows me the next step or gives me something that I wasn't expecting and I know it's from my higher power, I'm overjoyed. And I have to make phone calls and I have to share this. And when I'm giving service or someone has a problem and I try to help, I share this spiritual experience. And, you know, with the doctor saying, well, just, whoa, you know, keep it going, so to speak. You know, when I call my fellows, they understand. They understand. And the people who are not recovered, they may not get it immediately, but they're listening and they want it. And so I feel like I am able to help them. Crack that shell of disbelief. And, you know, I just continue every day in 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability to trust in step 11 and continue. It's the action for me that brings me in alignment with my higher power, that constantly shows me there is a God, there is a higher power. Boy, oh boy, I don't have the answers, even though I want them. So is it odd or is it God? It's usually God. Thank you so much, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Robin T. in Massachusetts. So before I take the next round up, let's just have a quick refresher reminder. If you come in halfway through, we are on page 14 in Bill's story. Third paragraph, for a moment, ending with, he knows that they are real. So two paragraphs this morning. Who would like to share? If you could star one to unmute and give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country where you're calling from.
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Thank you, Karen.
Sherry Z in Los Angeles.
And Angela. Thank you. Quiet group this morning.
Connie N. in Miami.
Good morning, Connie. I've got you. Thank you.
Good morning, Veronica B. from California.
Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning, Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B. in Missouri. Okay.
Hold
on one second. Now two people just spoke together. I heard Alina.
Oh, yeah, Alina A. in Canada.
In Canada, great. And then there was somebody else with you.
Roslyn C., Ohio.
I heard Ohio, and I heard something with an R, but I didn't catch your first name. Sorry, could you repeat it?
Roslyn C.
Roslyn, okay. Okay, great. If you can find a good spot. spot by the time you share, so there's no background noise. That would be appreciated, Rosalind. So, okay, here is our lineup. Karen KZ in Missouri, Carrie Z in Los Angeles, Connie N, Miami, Veronica B in Los Angeles, Ronnie B in Missouri, Elena A in Canada, and Rosalind in Ohio. Fabulous group. Could everybody other than Karen KZ in Missouri, star one, unmute? And Karen, good morning to you.
Thank you, Susan. This is Karen KZ in Missouri, gratefully recovered. And what stood out to me today is that the doctor listened in wonder as I talked. And that's what I love about talking to fellows on the phone. They listen in wonder as we share these spiritual experiences we have. And I find that sometimes, though, well, I don't do it because I'm not led by my higher power to do it. But I did. I was visiting with my 23-year-old grandson, and he just wanted to have a conversation, which was really sweet. He said, "Grandma, I just want to talk to you," and which was precious. And I ended up somehow talking about God. And it was amazing to me that it wasn't preachy. It wasn't trying to convert anybody. It was really just sharing my experience, strength and hope. And I think that's what this program is about. I think about the sharing is not trying to tell anybody what to think or what to do, but it's about sharing what happened for me. You know, what is my experience? And for me, those miracles that we talk about, those spiritual experiences, they don't just happen once. They happen every single day. And that's because every single day I invite God to take over my life, my thoughts, my words, and my actions. And I look far, and I find God everywhere, because that's what I'm looking for. So I just love to talk to program people and people who get it, because it just seems like we're building this big flame, a beautiful light or something, that's just illuminating all the people who are in darkness. So I'm just incredibly grateful for this fellowship, for this program, and for my God who takes over my life. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Karen KZ in Missouri. Next, Los Angeles, California, Carrie Z, could you please unmute and share with us? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan, and thank you all who are doing service. I'm Sherry Z in California, and
sorry,
I really love.
Sherry.
No worries, Susan. I really love the opening share, and I'm recovered, and I'm so grateful today as I'm sitting in this beautiful park at UCLA looking at all these famous statues. What I love about this moment in the big book is that he shared it, the doctor heard it, but then the doctor didn't say, "Let's figure it out. Let's figure out how this all happened and where it came from and let's analyze it." And because I always wanted to figure it out, like, how did this happen, and figure it out. And that's not what the big book instruction. The instruction is, if we do these things, we will get recovered and we will know God in a way that we've never known God. And I always find it funny because people now come up to me, not just family, friends, they're like, "I can't believe you haven't eaten sugar for so long. I can't believe you don't eat this. I can't do that. How do you do it?" And I always respond, "I don't do it. I don't know either. But I do know that God does for me what I can't do for myself." And there's a little bit of a leap off a cliff when I say that, because people are like, "What?" But I just say, you know, God is doing for me what I can't do for myself, because I can't figure it out. For the life of me, I cannot figure it out. What allows me to get up in the morning and first say the set-aside prayer that says, "Thank you, God, for getting me out of bed"? Like, what enables me to have in a kitchen with five kids, with food everywhere, that looks like wallpaper? Like, I don't get it. And if I try to figure it out, it doesn't make sense. So for me, my spiritual experience is real. And the power of it is not only to do it every day, but also to see God working in my life. And sitting here in this magnificent garden, watching my dog run after squirrels, is another example of just being present. And I don't know how I got here, but God brought me here. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Sherry Z in California. Next up, Connie N in Miami. Good morning, Connie.
Hi, good morning. This is Hani N. From Miami. So happy to be here and be in this meeting. I've heard so many great things, and I love the passage that we read. I always think of what he looked like when the doctor saw him, you know, and in my mind, he's always wearing like a fedora and a suit, and he's smiling, and his face is glowing, and I'm sure everyone just visualizes it different, but he looks good, you know, he looks healthy, he looks put together, and he has confidence, you know, and his life is being run differently, you know, and I know for myself that there was a point of being and working the steps in this program and turning my life over to God where I started appearing different to people. And it wasn't just about the weight. It was also just about how I showed up, you know, my face changed, you know, and the amazing thing is even though like so many of the meetings that I go to are on Zoom, like I could see it in other people, you know, I could see that like they are changing, you know, and it's weird because I always thought that I was missing something by not being in in-person meetings, but it's amazing how you can notice it just, you know, from these virtual worlds. And I don't know, you know, it's when you get it, you want more, you know, and at the same time too, it's easy for the idea of a miracle to start slipping away and start to think of, you know, you just take it for granted. And I love the shares that were just said, like there's so much truth in it. And every day I have to remember that the fact that there is food all around and the fact that it doesn't call to me is a miracle, is spiritual transformation. I just have to wake up every single morning and say whether I am surrendered or I'm still battling, you know, that's my choice to be. And thank God for today. I feel good. I feel safe and protected. I feel like God is holding me up. And just so grateful for that and grateful to be here. So thank you.
Thank you, Honey N in Miami. So the next name I know I heard correctly. Sorry to Sherry and Honey. Veronica B, please join us. Thank you.
Hi, good morning, Susan. My name is Veronica B in Los Angeles. I'm recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. And thank you so much for your service. So great to be on the line. And I actually had this experience, you know, where it says, when the doctor says something has happened to you, I don't understand, but you had better hang on to it. Anything is better than the way you were. I had the exact same experience. I could not stop eating and throwing up. I had practiced that behavior for about 15 years until I was willing to tell a doctor about my disease of this eating and throwing up. And she took a full blood work panel of me, and she told me, you know, that I could not go on living this way. And so, you know, I was in so much fear that it was suggested to go to Ubers Anonymous. And so there was a woman in the rooms who had a reputation of saying yes to sponsorship. So I asked her to sponsor me. She was not my first choice, second choice, or my third choice. And I was afraid of this woman. But I was so afraid, and I was willing at that moment to live differently. And I wanted what she had. And she started to sponsor me. And I had this amazing transformation. God removed the obsession to eat and throw up. I thought I was going to die eating and throwing up. And I went back a year later to the same doctor, and she said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it. And then shortly thereafter, she even recommended me to one of her patients who was having problems with eating and throwing up. So, you know, we just don't know, like, this is a ripple effect, right? We just touch other people's lives by our example. And I thought I was going to die a bulimic. And I am so grateful for this transformation that has taken place. And I'm going to a convention this weekend with a girlfriend that's not in program. It's not Overeaters Anonymous. It's another 12-step program. But, you know, I tend to get very excited at these things. So I have to stay very grounded, plan my meals. I told my girlfriend I need to go shopping and take my food. And she said, no, we'll do it there. And I said, no, we need to do it before we get there. You know, I don't want any surprises because I know when I'm around a lot of people, I get very excited and I want to, you know, I feel so grateful sometimes that I can't control like the excitement. And I don't know if anybody relates to that, but I just have to stay grounded, know what my truth is, and just continue to ask God to help me throughout the weekend if I get, you know, too overstimulated, and know that I'm safe and protected as long as I keep asking God for help. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Veronica B. in California. Next, Ronnie B. in Missouri. Please star one to unmute and join us. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater. So a lot of really good things were read and said, and I need to listen and then take heed, right? Not just listen in and kind of what I would like to do is think of like the really good things to say. But that's never been true for me. You know, I don't always or ever probably have these really good things to say, but I can tell you this to be true. Last October, a day at a time, I had 4 years of continued abstinence, and it took me more than 30 years to get that. So, and I got that through vision. So I have to tell you that the first time I was ever abstinent, yes, I got off the sugar and all those red foods, if you will, red foods, and and a rigorous exercise program. And before you knew it, I was dropping way below a very healthy weight, very below. And all it took to lose any semblance of a program, right, was one cream puff. So I'm clear that it takes one cream puff away from going right back to where I was more than 4 years ago. And I don't want to go there. So what's interesting is that a week from Saturday is my son's wedding. And so, of course, that disease said to me the other night when they took me to see the venue is, well, of course you're going to have a piece of cake. You are the groom's mother. And I have to tell you, I laughed my butt off. I'm like, oh, my God, take a back seat, disease. Take a back seat. That is not what you're going to do. That's the same as for me saying, oh, the champagne is going around for the toast. I'm the mother of the groom, you know, and so I don't have any plans of doing that at all. And I'm not bringing any kind of sugar-free thing to fit in. What I might do, as silly as it sounds, I might bring an apple. I might do that, but that's completely okay with me. So it's just the other food that's there, I know what it's going to be, and I know I can eat it, and I'm good with that. That everything is good, and there's a lot to be said for that. A whole lot for me to say about that. Now about God, yes, I had to do legwork. I had to feel the pain of withdrawal from the sugar, the pain of that, you know. But what was greater than that pain was the pain of going back. And then taking whatever amount of time to, if I'm blessed, to get another shot at abstinence. So, yes, I do have the same sponsor I've always had in this program who said yes right away. And time. So just blessings to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie B. in Missouri. Next, we're going to go to Canada to Alana A. Good morning.
I'm Elena A. Hi, I'm Elena A, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, sorry, just checking. I was thinking about kind of my experience of this. So I am not recovered. I am still struggling with the food. I'm still on step one. But I know that there's, every time I like turn my will over, there's some experience, you know, there's like, sometimes I can feel my energy shift. Sometimes I can feel information come in. Sometimes I feel nervous because when you kind of completely turn it over, but you really mean it, it means that everything's out of your hands now in a way, you know? Like everything's kind of up to God. And so I think one of the things I was thinking when the reader was reading the chapter or the paragraphs was that it's like not only is there this feeling that comes with or this kind of strange, amazing kind of feeling that comes with turning it over, but then there's strenuous work immediately after that. And I think sometimes I get lost in the magic of it, like wanting to feel the feeling. So for example, I have my action plan and there's things on it, like different prayers and different things. And I like how they make me feel when I say them and stuff. But then after a while they demand, sorry about the noise. After a while they demand action and they demand me challenging myself in certain ways. And that's when I start to break down because I'm hoping it's going to be, you know, a magical experience the whole time. And a lot of the time, recovery is just practical action, like practical action that sometimes feels good and sometimes doesn't. And I guess, I'm really glad we had medical benefactors that helped to validate the early experiences people had in this program, or we wouldn't have the stability and the doctor's opinion and all the stuff, the foundation of the program that we have. But yeah, I also have to remember that, you know, wonderful experience with God is an experience, but the real relationship comes from what I do after that. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Elena A. in Canada. Thank you. Next, we have Rosalind in Ohio. And Rosalind, if you could give us your last initial. Thank you. Good morning. I want to unmute Rosalind in Ohio.
Hi, this is Rosalind.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Good, good.
Yes, thank you.
Rosalind C. from Ohio. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I was walking this morning and this reading just kind of resonated and I wanted to say something, but what stood out for me was the fact that he said, anything is better than the way you were. And I have to agree with that wholeheartedly because I could never recognize when I was in my disease any changes in the weight, any changes in the size, any changes in my behavior. And so, but as I continued to work my program, others recognized it. I quit stepping on the toes of people and my family and my coworkers, and they were recognizing this change, and I continued to cease fighting anything and everyone, as the big book says, and that didn't come by me doing that work. It was by my higher power. As I continued to direct my attention to what he would have me to be. And I'm so thankful that I didn't give up. Anybody on the call that is, you know, even relapsers, don't give up. Just keep hanging in there because people will see the change if you continue to work the steps as it's outlined. And that's all I have to say. And I appreciate everybody on this call and thank you all and have a good day. I pass.
Beautiful. Thank you, Rosalind C. in Ohio. Okay, so maybe one more or two more, depending if people take the full 3 minutes. Again, we're on page 14 in Bill's story. For a moment, I was alarmed through to the end of the next paragraph. He knows that they are real. So if this is your third day to share, please star one unmute. Give me your first name, last initial, and the state or country you are calling from.
Vicky T.
Vicky T, good morning. Thank you. Anybody else like to try and get in on this?
Marianne.
I heard a Mary.
Yes, Marianne from Michigan.
Okay, great. We will have to stop there, everybody. Okay, Vicky, Thank you. If everyone other than Vicky can mute themselves, Vicky T in Florida, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Susan. Hi, I'm Vicky T. I'm recovered in Florida. I'm very grateful to be here. And so I was on a meeting once, and I was on there before the meeting started, and people were chatting, and they were comparing who got up early, who got up the earliest. And I was listening to these ungodly times, and I thought, oh, recovered people don't sleep late. So I decided that I was going to get up an hour earlier than I had to normally. This was before I found God. I always said I couldn't get the God thing. You know, the God thing is the whole thing that we know, right? So I was doing my program myself for 34 years, and we know where that got me. So anyway, I decided to try that. And I had a little white light. Well, it wasn't little. I had a white light experience. I feel like, you know, fellows tell me all the time, if you walk to God, he's going to run to you. Okay, that sounds kind of cool, but it really did happen. I put the pen to paper, and I started writing, and something was happening. I was writing back to myself, and they weren't things that I would never say. And that was my first experience with God, and it blew me away. I mean, I feel like he was waiting for me, and he was like, oh, finally, it took you so long, but I'm so glad you're here. Come on, come over here, and just wrapped himself around me. And since then, you know, it calmed down from the high. You know, at first it was like, whoa, and every day it was just getting crazy, and then it, you know, it calmed down, and now I have a very comfortable, consistent practice. But it really was pretty incredible for me. And if I, you know, I look at the way that I am now and the way that I was. Somebody said something to me yesterday, and it really was profound. She said she's recovered with the food, and she's recovering with her emotional sobriety. And that really rang true for me, because what I'm working on with God, or what God's working on me with, is my emotional sobriety. And I'm so much better. I can see before I get myself in the muck, or right after I get myself in the muck, and then the 10th step is, you know, just an emotional fixer. But that's where I'm at with my spiritual experience, and I wanted to share that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vicky T. Marianne, we have about 90 seconds. So if you'd like to take it, please join us. Sorry, we ran out of time. Marianne in Michigan.
I'll try to make this quick. First of all, since my time is limited, I want to thank everyone who participates on this line, all the people who give service, because I work my program. I work the program. And it is so reinforcing to hear all of these voices who are doing the same crazy thing that no one else around me can understand. But it works. And the line, he listened in wonder as I talked, reminded me, I was talking to somebody who'd been in program a couple of years, but never really started working it. And I know as I was talking about it that she was wondering, like, is this one more person? Does this really work? Because I know when I came in, I was skeptical. But I was, as the book says, I was willing. I was willing to experiment, to do this, to try these things. And I know now that the faith I live by is not enough, but I know that I'm loved, and I'm reestablishing all the things that have happened in the last few months to me, to me, around me, in me, to give them, to align with what my higher power would have happened. And thank you. It's so important to hear that higher power is caring. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, thank you. And thank you to everyone who was of service this morning. Chanel T for reading the text. Wendy M, who's going to read for us in a moment. Sherry Z was our backup. Please stay on if you are new, and especially if you need a sponsor. Sherry M is our newcomer greeter. And Leslie M will share announcements. Thank you also to Alex K and Patty F, who read for us this morning. We'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Wendy M. in Colorado, will you please read a vision for you for us? Thank you.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M. Recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.